Do you love Almighty God? I would say you do because you're here, and not just because you're in this building, but because you're worshiping Him today. And I believe that you are all believers in His anointed one who came to change everything. And therefore, I believe you will be blessed by this message today. If you're not a believer in Christ, I think and I believe that you will want to be before this message is over. You know, His followers heed His commandments and live according to His teachings, and the Holy Word of Almighty God does what He purposed for it to do. Lord willing, I'll be able to share it with you in a way that will build up your belief today. We're going to look at baptism from a biblical perspective. We're going to listen to Christ's teaching on this topic, and we'll examine Paul's writings and Luke's writings also. And God's Word offers blissful, eternal life to all who believe, but not for those who reject the gospel. Christ paid the price for souls to be liberated from bondage. And I ask, do you want to be free today? If you do, I say then, let's follow what the Word of God says and turn now, if you will, with me to the last page of Matthew's gospel record, Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to begin at verse 16 and read through verse 20. And that's Matthew chapter 28. Beginning at verse 16 and reading through the end of the chapter there in verse 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." I ask that God would add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His Word today. This text contains the last instructions that Jesus gave to His disciples. And the very first part of that is to go. Go. This is an active, participating faith that we are engaged in. He said, go. He didn't say, stay. He didn't say, sit. He didn't say, remain where you are. He said, go. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Making disciples of all nations. God wants that all would come to repentance. He doesn't want that any would perish. This is the Word of God. Our Lord said, whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We draw people into His kingdom, we're obeying our King, our supreme in command. It's written in John 3 and verse 36 that John the Baptist said, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." That's in John chapter 5 and verse 24. Making disciples is a fundamental part of our faith. Sharing what God did with us is a fundamental part of our faith. Going out somewhere in your corner of the world is a fundamental part of our faith. Believing's more than saying you believe. We have to believe in the gospel, but it's more than just saying it, is action. Your believing's observed in your changed life through obedience to Christ. It's written, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's believing. The newness. You must be born again, Jesus said. It's not a matter of staying where you were. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're changed into the likeness of Christ. The new life of believers is what Jesus called being born again. We're His workmanship, it's written in Ephesians chapter 2, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. After instructing His disciples to go, His followers are to go and make disciples, He told them how to go about accomplishing that task. The first step He gave was baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is commonly called the first step of obedience to Christ. But why baptism? Faith in Christ saves us, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. It's written, for by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And again, it's written, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. James gives us some clarification, though. James relates, even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? These are the words of James, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we see that there's some work involved in our faith, that this faith brings forth these works, okay? Our action reveals the condition of our heart. Obedience to Christ shows faith in Christ. Disobedience reveals a heart that's not fully surrendered. And that's a reality that's shown in Scripture. You see then that by works a man is justified and not by faith only, James writes in the second chapter in verse 24. If baptism was required for salvation, then the man that was hanging on the cross next to Jesus wouldn't have gone into paradise. It's not required. It's not required. Remember, the thief was saved by Christ. He was saved by faith, not by some act of his own. He had no chance to obey or disobey the command to be baptized. His faith was expressed on his deathbed, so to speak. However, as I said before, believing is more than saying you believe. Your faith is observed in obedience to Christ. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. That's written in the 16th chapter of Mark. Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent. That's in John chapter 6. Believing and obeying go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. There's a togetherness. When you believe, you obey, and your obedience reveals your believing. We learn to obey Christ as his followers. Those who deny him before men will be denied before the angels of God, as written in Luke chapter 12. The second step is teaching obedience to all that he commanded. This is what Jesus said. We just read that from Matthew. When he commanded his disciples to go into all the world, he said, convert them. Get them to become disciples. Baptize them, and then teach them everything that he commanded. He makes that very clear. We are to teach what he commanded. And so as I teach this message, this is what Christ commanded. And so I teach to you what he commanded. It's not my command. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, it tells us that our Lord was perfected and became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Obey him. Obedience is an important aspect of our faith. All believers share the commands of Christ and teach others to learn to obey his commandments. But how can somebody learn to obey Christ unless they're taught? And this is part of my job, is to share the word of God as best as I'm able. And if those who bring another to Christ ignore this command, they themselves are disobeying the Lord of glory. Learning to obey Christ is an important part of our faith. Remember, Christ said the Holy Spirit's our teacher. And if we resist him, we endanger ourselves. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things, Jesus said, and bring to your remembrance all things that Christ taught. It's written in John chapter 14 and verse 26. The Holy Spirit will teach you and bring it to your remembrance. Can you hear him calling to you today? And if so, will you answer him? That's an important idea to consider. Will you answer? Listen to what's written in Isaiah chapter 55. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Yes, come. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. He's speaking of Christ. Isaiah's speaking of Christ. He's foretelling Christ. Come to Christ and allow him to satisfy you completely. Isaiah says to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Isaiah also says, who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Who are we relying on? Are we relying upon being dunked in some water? Or are we relying on Almighty God? We're relying on God to bring salvation to the soul of human beings. It's not about the water. It's about being obedient. The Spirit of God, the Lord, is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. That's written in Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. And this was what Jesus stood up in the synagogue and read and said, "Today this saying is fulfilled in your hearing." He was the one. He was the one who came to redeem us from sin. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, it's written, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." So what's the Bible say the point of baptism is? Why do we obey this command? Those who believe upon Him are formally enlisted and enrolled in the school of Christ by baptism. We start by obeying Him and following everything He taught, which leads us out of temptation and into His light. Out of darkness into light. In the sixth chapter of Romans, that's illuminated very nicely. As many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, we were baptized into His death. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all. But the life that He lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." Obedience brings that. Obedience. You step into Christ by obedience. You accept the message of Christ through obedience. You obey the call of God, and you are saved. And the first step that you take after that is into that water of baptism. And you allow that overwhelming of the water to signify as a picture. It's an illumination of your giving up the old life and being buried with Christ. And then raised in newness of life in Christ. It's a picture of it. It doesn't do it. It's not the work of it. It doesn't make you saved. It doesn't take away your sin. Although there is one passage of Scripture that tells us to be baptized for the remission of sin. We'll look at that next week. And this is what we're doing. We're doing this. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, it's written, "There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." It's a gift of God. We can't earn it. There's nothing we can do to receive it except to accept it. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, it's written, "As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." And this is, as I said, what we're doing when we share the gift of grace which we have received. We share the message. We go into the world. We share the truth of God's Word. We don't just sit on our backside somewhere and ignore the truth. We're told to do this. And if you don't have the gift of gab like me, then get them in here and I'll share the Word. You know, those of you who are here regularly know, I'm not going to depart from the Word of God. I will not depart from the living word of Almighty God. I will bring what it says in its fullness to the best of my ability. And that's not to bang my own horn or whatever, drum or whatever they say. I just want you all to know, if you don't have the gift to share, then just get them here. Invite them here, and I will share the word of God. It's written that God wants us to make disciples. He wants us to baptize and teach obedience to His Word. And this is what we're doing when we teach obedience to the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. This is what we're doing as we pray and worship and fellowship. And as I wrap this up, I want to ask, how can you apply this to your life? I want you to remember, baptism is the first step of obedience to Christ. If you haven't stepped into the waters of baptism, you might want to consider it. You might want to consider it because it was good enough for Jesus. He stepped into the waters of baptism. It's good enough for all the rest of us if we're commanded in Scripture to do it. And again, it's not going to save you, and you're not going to go to hell if you don't. Except you have to remember, obedience is a part of your faith. Living an obedient life to Christ is a part of your faith. Surrendering yourself to the overwhelming water is your outward identification with Christ. Going under the water is like our Lord's burial, Scripture tells us. And being raised up is like His resurrection. When we go under the water, we leave the life of sin behind. And remember what's written in Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Obedience is stated throughout Scripture. It is about an obedient life, and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God empowers you to overcome temptation and sin and live your life according to the will of God. That's what the Word shows us. Baptism's a public proclamation of your new life in Christ. It's a public proclamation of changing your allegiance from sin and death to Christ and life. It's a public proclamation that you have made a change. Now, in the days of Christ and following the days of Christ, to identify with the body of Christ meant that you were putting yourself in grave danger. You could be, and very many were, tortured. Very many were killed for their faith because they identified with Christ. Oh, it was all right to hang out with Christians and talk with them, but it wasn't all right to identify with Christ. And this is the point. You know, you're living for God through Christ. You're proclaiming your death to yourself. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, it's written, "We are buried with Him in baptism, and also raised with Him through faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." It is by faith in Christ that we are saved. It is not of ourself, and our eternal salvation is outwardly seen in our obedience to Him. If you've never been baptized as an adult, consider it. Maybe it's time to obey the Lord. If you feel the Holy Spirit nudging you now, come forward. You can come forward right now. You can sit in any of these front pews, and we'll pray with you and for you. And if you're not interested in doing that, that's fine. But if you are, we could even go to the water today. If anybody wanted to be baptized, if the Holy Spirit is nudging you right now, then I say, let's go. Let's do it. Let's go. Let's step into that water. And let's realize the power of God in our lives as we obey the living Word of Almighty God. Anybody who wants to can come forward. Anybody else who wants to can be with us as we're baptizing them. Remember, Christ stepped into the water of baptism Himself. Why would He do that? He didn't have any sin. He didn't have any reason except obedience, obedience to the Father, because that was the way that God laid it out. Jesus didn't have to be baptized. Why would He have to be baptized? Think about it. And there are some people that say, well, you've got to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. That's not true, because Jesus was baptized and He didn't have any sin. He was without sin. Being baptized is just an act of obedience to Almighty God, giving yourself over to Him, that He'll have the reign and rule in your life, that He'll be your master, that you will be His servant. So as we go forward, I would like for anybody who hasn't been baptized to think about it, really consider it, because it is simply an act of obedience to Almighty God. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word and know that it is truth. We ask, Lord, that You would lead us. Lead those, Lord, who perhaps are sitting here today. You've nudged with Your Spirit, Lord. Give them the strength, the resolve to stand up. Not necessarily today, Lord, but to stand up for You. To live their lives for You. To act obediently toward You. We pray this all in Christ's name. Seat Your Word in our hearts, Lord. That we walk forward from here and we think of it all week long. That it would occur to us. That it would reoccur to us. Teach us, Lord. Lead us, guide us, and direct us to be who You want us to be, where You want us to be, doing what You want us to do. I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.